We appreciate the opportunity to come back to you with the second lesson on the angel at the altar. We are looking at Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 3. It is including the understanding of why there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And we read you Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. I don't know if I made the application of that according to this message as I should. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is shining, is as a shining light that shineth more and more. I want to try to show you that which God shined more and more after I tried to preach that message last week. And as far as the title of the message, I failed miserably, but I didn't fail to follow the Holy Spirit, which message proved to be edifying to the peoples of God, but not under that title. But after that, the Lord showed me these things that I'd like to share with you to let you understand and see how I know the understanding and have the understanding to perceive the silence in heaven being an ending of intercession because it could not be sustained any longer on the blood of bulls and goats. So let's look at that in this second lesson, and you need only turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. These are the verses that the Lord gave me after I brought that message and I realized that I didn't know what I was talking about as far as silence in heaven. But again, the message itself proved to be glorifying to the Lord because it turned out to be edifying to some of the peoples of God. I know they had to scratch their head and said, wonder, why is he preaching on all this when he said he was going to preach on the silence in heaven? Here we go. These are the things that the Lord showed me in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, we begin reading in verse number 1. Then verily, surely, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. No doubt about it. The old economy, the Old Testament, the covenant under Moses, had ordinances of divine services. These things were prescribed by God that they had to be. And he starts listing them out in verse number 2 of Hebrews chapter 9. For there was a tabernacle made. In the first part of the tabernacle, there was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant overlaid with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And he goes on down and lists out all these things, and I won't trouble you in reading all that. So let's drop on down. Verse number 8. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. As long as that tabernacle and those priests and all those ordinances stood, then the way into the holiest of all is not yet made manifest. Dear soul, do you realize that at Calvary, one of the major things that we ought to maximize on and contemplate is the splitting of the temple veil? Do you know what that veil separated? It separated the court from the sanctuary from the holiest of all. Nobody but the high priest could go into the holiest of all, but only once a year, and that with blood. You couldn't go in before God Almighty but once a year. But now, the curtain, the veil is ripped from top to bottom. God reaches down and rips it. And he says, I have torn the body of my son. And it is by those sacred wounds that are shedding the blood of God himself, the thorns on the head, the nails on the hands and feet, the side where the spear, and those sacred wounds providing the tearing of the veil signified the time when the tearing of the body of Jesus Christ was done. So that the tearing of the body of Jesus Christ was the veil that kept, that allowed us to go into the presence of Almighty God. He says, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered gifts and sacrifices that could not make them perfect, could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, because they only stood in meats and drinks and washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. The time of Reformation is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where God allowed us to come in into his holy presence. Do you understand, dear Christian, that you have opportunity and you have the privilege of going into the holy place in the presence of God Almighty, which thing not even the high priest could do of his own accord whenever he wished? He could go in once a year. And I don't know whether it's true or not, but I read that they tied a rope around his waist that in case he did not enter properly and God killed him, they could pull his dead body back out. That's how scary it was. But here we go, chewing our chewing gum, looking around, see who's here, see what people are wearing, and wondering if anybody got our parking place. And we're so lackadaisical about God. We need to get serious about God. God is serious about this. And if you don't want to hear, and nobody does, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you there at the great white throne, and God cast you out of his presence. You need to get serious about the worship of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, verse number 11, Hebrews 9. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, let everything be silent. Why? Because I've got some good things to come. There's silence in heaven. Some good things are coming. I'm tired of these old things. I never was satisfied with it. In sacrifices and offerings, he said, thou hast no pleasure. But I come to do thy will, O God. A body hast thou prepared for me. So Jesus Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, of goats, and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Silence in heaven. Because I want to wait until my son has obtained eternal salvation for us. Eternal redemption. And when he is come and issued in, lift up your head, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty, the Lord God Almighty, strong in battle. Jesus Christ, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now let the mediation that I've always wanted, the mediation under the good things to come, this is what it was all about. 4,000 years of shadows and types, 4,000 years of bloody sacrifices, smelly, dear soul, tabernacle with flies all over the place, and all of that gore and that they had to go through and sacrificing their best animals. And yet it wasn't accepted eternally until the Lamb of God came to take away the sin of our world. Verse number 13, Hebrews 9. For if, that's a big word, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, he did it by the Holy Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You obeyed God in the old economy and shed the blood of bulls and goats. Well, that sanctified you, and you completed God's purpose and will in that to the purifying of the flesh. Going home from the tabernacle, how do you feel? A whole lot better. Why? I did what God said. God accepted me on behalf of that which he had established, the blood of bulls and goats. If that had a benefit, and it did have a benefit, you didn't do that, God would kill you. But how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, now listen, Hebrews 9:15, why was there silence in heaven? Because the blood of bulls and goats had ceased to be able to sustain intercession in prayers before God. And what are we waiting on? The sacrifice of the Lamb of God so that we might be seen. Well, where is he? He's in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 8. He's the angel at the altar. He's the one that's in charge of the censer. He's the one that's in charge of the prayers of the saints. He's the one, it says they were offered up out of the angel's hand. That's what it says. Revelation 8, verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Dear soul, in whose hand do you put your trust? In whose hand do you put your faith that your prayer will be heard and accepted by God? There's no other name given other than the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say when you finish your prayer? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to God through Christ, and it is him who is the angel at the altar that mediates our prayers up to God. For this cause, he, Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, the new covenant, the new contract. Silence in heaven, waiting till the new contract, new covenant is implemented, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were on the first testament. David, you're going to get saved. Isaiah, you're going to get saved. You say, well, yeah, we're souls under the altar crying, how long? When shall you be brought before God and out from under the shadowy types of the law? When Jesus Christ has fully satisfied God. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Isn't that good? My righteous servant has justified many. And when that is done and payment is finally made, after 4,000 years of the law, Jesus Christ came and he said to the Father, I've finished the work that thou hast given me to do. And I've lost none of them, except the son of perdition, and that was so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And when he got through at the cross, he raised his voice and cried with a mighty voice, it is finished. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Now then, our prayers can be mediated with the incense of Christ's glorious obedience from the hand of that angel who is representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 again of Hebrews 9. And for this cause, he, Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Excuse me. For where a testament is, you go to your lawyer and you get him to make you a last will and testament. For a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Excuse me. Sucking too much air down my dry throat. Now that word testator in Hebrews 9:16 is the word mediator in Hebrews 9:15. You say, I got a will. Where is it? Well, it's in our post office box, or rather in our safety box. You went to the bank and you opened up a safety deposit box and you said, put my will in there. What good is it doing laying in there? Nothing. When will it be brought out and brought to the court and have any effect? You got to die. Jesus Christ had not yet died as far as there being silence in heaven. God was waiting on the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God making application of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. And there could be no intercession until that happened. That's why there was silence. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. That's what God showed me to open up silence in heaven. He was waiting until the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Say, I got a will. Good. Are your children receiving any benefit from it right now? No. Why? Because I'm still alive. You can't have a will have any effect to do any good except there's a death. That's what God brought to me to make me understand and see Revelation 8:1, the silence in heaven. I apologize to you. I have before, I will again, that last week's lesson was misnamed, because it didn't have anything to do with silence in heaven. It was a message that was there to benefit and edify the peoples of God. Comfort ye, comfort my people. But I was wanting to get on to this. So God lets you see that I can mess up, but God can't. And after I tried to preach that message on silence in heaven and didn't, God then revealed this to me and said, this is why there was silence in heaven. So he showed me after the fact. And then now I am to bring that to you. Verse 17, Hebrews 9. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testament liveth. So there was silence in heaven. Why? Because there was no strength at all to present any prayers before Almighty God. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats never satisfied God. What was he waiting on? good things to come. What was those good things to come? The blood of the Lamb of God dying once for all, cleansing all of God's people from all of their sins for all eternity and satisfying the Father. God said, let everything be quiet. I'm waiting on an announcement. It is finished. Pew. The Son cried out from the cross and said, Father, it's finished. God said, now there can be intercession on based on the blood of the man, Christ Jesus. The testator is dead. Now the testament can be put into effect. The new testament, the new covenant can be brought out of the safety deposit box and it can be implemented down at God's courthouse and God's saying, listen, this is what I've been waiting on. You send the bailiff down there to that court, down to that prison, and you let all my people go. You let them be free from the bondage of sin. You give them the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want everybody to understand in heaven that I'm listening out for the prayers of my saints, which I have longed for and waited for and patiently devised until my son could go and accomplish this redemption. Now the testament is in effect because the testator has died. Listen, verse 17 of Hebrews 9. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Well, the Old Testament law was dedicated with blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. There is no payment for sin without the shedding of blood. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. It was necessary that the blood of bulls and goats be used to sprinkle everybody and all the vessels and sanctify everything. Why? Did that accomplish anything? Yep. It made the Israelites understand and know that without the shedding of blood, God ain't going to forgive anybody's sin. Therefore, John the Baptist cried on that beach as Jesus Christ walked down by that lake, recorded in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. My, what a message. Just one sentence. But it ended everything Moses had done. You can rest now, Moses. You and Elijah can come by and meet us on the Mount of Transfiguration, and you can discuss with me the things concerning my decease. You're interested in this. Why? Because your work is not done until I finish my work. Your work is not understood, Moses. Your prophecies are not understood in the fullness thereof, Elijah, until I have become prophet, priest, and king, and I have made everything clear. Ain't God good? Listen. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. But Christ has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Isn't that good? Now, excuse me, there is no silence in heaven. for intercession. It's filling the mind and ears and prayers of God and His people. And I've often wondered, Lord, especially with hearing aids in both ears and still can't hear everything plain, how in the world can God hear that saint over there in China praying in Chinese, that saint over there in Russia praying in Russian, that saint over there in Italy, that saint over there in Spain, that saint over there in Portugal, that saint, dear soul, down in Africa. And this poor old southerner praying in his broken southern dialect, how in the world can God hear all of that at one and the same time? And I understand it's because He is God, and He wants His people to understand and know that He hears their prayers. Let me read you a verse. The book of Psalms, it's a psalm, it's not a chapter. Psalm 141. Lord, I cry unto Thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. When I bow on my knees and lift up my hands to God and pray, let my hands be lifted up as and you receive it as if it was the evening sacrifice. And let the setting forth of my prayer be as the incense that comes up. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, because He's the angel of the altar, and the incense is offered up to God out of the hands of that angel. That's what the Bible says. And dear soul, I have been recently made aware of some verses in the book of John. I hope I can find it. I'm going to see if it's in John 16. Went too far. John 16:26. I want you to hear this. When I get back to my Father, at that day ye shall ask in my name. He said, but let me tell you something. This is so glorious. Jesus said, at that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. What? You're not going to mediate for us? That's not what He said. He said, I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to have to pray in your stead. Your prayer is going to be heard. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father Himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So the person of the divine mediator, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ says, yes, I will offer up the incense along with the prayers of God's people. And that holy glory shall fill heaven, and God shall hear your prayers. And you don't have to have me pray for you. I'm going to step out of the way. You've got the Spirit. You've been blood bought. You've been blood washed. Get on up there and you talk to the Father yourself. What? My soul. Christian, do you realize how wonderful your prayer life can be and should be? I say now that I shall pray for you. Okay, the little child is 2-3 years old. Now, Daddy and Mommy are going to kneel down by your bed, and we want you to do what we do. You kneel down, and you close your little hands, and you close your little eyes, and you repeat after us. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, and you say the prayer for the child. But you don't say the prayer for the child to make them understand that you're always going to have to be the one to pray for them. you are starting them out on how to pray for themselves. And they grow out of that prayer. They understand that they're going to lay themselves down for sleep. They understand that it's only God that can keep them through the darkness of night and wake them up the next day. But it gets to be more than that. Lord, I don't want to be in the drowsiness and sleepiness of sin. Keep my soul. Bring forth the morning light and shine upon my heart and help me that I might be able to stand before God in grace and mercy. Who is that praying? That's that adult child. That's that adult who was once a child that kneeled down beside you at their bed and prayed their little prayer. Now I'll lay me down to sleep. You learn to get out of the way and let them pray themselves. That's what this is saying. I'm sure I've read this verse many times, and I'm sure I didn't understand it. But in these last several days, I heard the Lord Jesus say to me, "At that day ye shall ask in my name." Thank you, Lord, I do ask in your name. I don't attempt and I don't surmise that I could stand before God on my own behalf. But the next thing he says, I didn't understand, and it didn't dawn on me like it has in this past few days. "And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." The little child has grown up. They may live in a different city. They may have a family of their own. Maybe mom and daddy have gone on to be with the Lord. They can't come and pray for them anymore. But they don't need to. The child has been brought up to the place by the Holy Spirit through the teaching of the parents that they can approach God on their own merit and stand on their own faith and cry out to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, "I want to tell you something. You don't have to say, 'Now lay me down to sleep,' anymore. How should we pray? Our Father." What? Our mine and Jesus' Father, which art in heaven, glorious and hallowed and precious is thy name. That's how you ought to pray. Isn't that something? "At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." You know why? "Because the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." No daughter realizes her self-worth until she realizes how much her mother loves her. No son will ever realize his own self-worth until he realizes how much his father loves him. And understanding and knowing that your parent loves you like that, you begin to think differently about yourself. How can they love me so? Then you need to quit downing yourself and doubting yourself, and you need to understand that you are the son of God's love. Wake up. Come on up into the presence of God. There'll never be silence in heaven anymore. You got something to say, say it. How in the world are you ever going to fulfill the scripture? Pray without ceasing, unless you learn how to offer prayers by thoughts out of your mind. And the fire on the altar never goes out, because you have been given something as a believer, as a Christian, that is glorious. And that is a God consciousness, so that God can speak to you when other people are not aware of it. God can speak to you when other people think they're talking about this and God is saying that. You can see something that nobody else can see, and God will reveal himself to you in that. The things that are made show the invisible things of him, even his Godhead, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And dear soul, Jesus is saying, now Moses is complete, the law is complete, the tabernacle was done as it was supposed to, but rip, God tore the veil and he tore my veins. And you enter in by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and you come before Almighty God. And it's not a physical building anymore. If you can't pray to God and believe that God hears you, except you be in a church building on Sunday, you're in bad shape. And you'll hear God say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. If you can't know God on Monday morning, on Thursday night, on Saturday, every day of the week, if you can't wake up on your bed at night in the darkness of night and your family all asleep and you have awareness of God and you can speak to him, dear soul, you're in trouble. God wants us to understand and know there's not going to be silence in heaven anymore. These things have been done and completed. It is the Lord, dear soul. He's calling us unto him. And he says, I'm not going to say to you that I have to pray for you anymore. The Father wants to hear what you got to say. Dear soul, I'll tell you something, that's amazing. Well, if you put this in the natural, and you were adopted into a family, and they already had a son, and he's the heir of all things, and he says, come on in. Sit here at the table. Eat what you want to eat. Here is your allowance. Spend it on what you want. Here are the clothes you can have. You ride in the same car I do. Dear soul, that's amazing that you're not hated and jealous of. But in the spiritual, it's even more glorious. Jesus saying, here they are, Father. I denied myself. I let myself be accounted as if I had done wrong. And I was beaten and chastised because of their wrong. But I still love them. And I want them to have everything that I have. And I want them to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Dear soul, I believe I have conveyed to you that which God has conveyed to me. I would ask you to please read four chapters in Hebrews, chapters 1 and 2, give you an understanding of the difference between angels and Christ. Why did the apostle take up two chapters to give that? Because that was what was seen in the old economy, that it was based on angels. Then I want you to read Hebrews chapters 9 and 10 and see that God was awaiting the fulfillment and the completion of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he shouted in John 19:30, it is finished. And now there's silence in heaven no more. And two verses, Revelation 8:3, right after the first verse says there's silence in heaven, here is the angel of the altar. He has access to the censer. He has access to the prayers of God's people. Everything that there is that comes up to God comes out of his hand. If that's not the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know who it is. And understand and see the benefit that you as a Christian have. It's not just, oh boy, I don't have to go to hell. Oh boy, I'm going to heaven. And mama's going to teach angels how to sing and build me a cabin in the corner of glory, and we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. And God said, now you shall know as ye are known. I'm going to let you in on that which I know of you, and you're going to know yourself as I know you. And you will come to have appreciation of yourself when you fully come to see yourself in the Father's love. May God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. I trust the Lord will strengthen and bless us and continue us on till he soon comes and receives us unto himself. Amen.